British Sky Broadcasting presents Saving Grace, voiced by Charlotte Strevens. On behalf of MCS Agency. Directed by Nigel Cole. The head and shoulders of a rugged-looking man emerges from the grave he's digging. He stops shoveling and drags deeply on a cigarette. Closing his eyes, he holds his breath. He resumes digging. A slim, attractive woman with her dark hair tied back jumps off a small fishing trawler onto the sand. The tide is out, and removing her hood, she unzips her yellow waterproof jacket and climbs out of her yellow dungarees to reveal a short black dress. She steps back into her wellies and, dropping the waterproofs into the bottom of the boat, picks up a dark suit, some dainty shoes, and walks quickly along the wet sand up to the quayside ahead. With Brenda Blethyn as Grace, Craig Ferguson as Matthew, and Valerie Edmund as Nikki. A middle-aged woman is lovingly tending to a cream and maroon orchid in her conservatory, the concentration on her face fierce as a humidifier puffs on the flower. She is well-preserved, with subtle makeup, groomed short hair and manicured nails. She wears an expensive-looking long black coat, pearls at her throat. The conservatory cum greenhouse connects to the main house. It is full of exotic blooms. On the work surface, there is an angle-poised magnifying glass and special lamp. She ties off a stem and snips off a flower. She carefully positions a black pillbox hat with net on her head, and holding a perfect white bloom between her fingers, walks out. The funeral procession sedately makes its way down the steep hill into the village, the coffin carried by four pallbearers in front, the hearse and mourners walking behind. It wends its way past the local pub and passes the young woman who is sitting on some lobster pots, putting on her shoes. The widow observes it all as the car continues through the village and up through the narrow streets on the other side. All those they pass stop to show their respect. The man digging the grave watches the funeral procession walking towards him across the grassy clifftop, his forehead etched with lines, his sensuous lips concerned. He starts to unbutton his boiler suit. He wets his fingers with his tongue and pats down his wayward hair. The young woman appears behind him holding out a dark suit. He gives her a lingering kiss of thanks, and arm in arm, they run off as the procession, led by the vicar in full robes, comes ever nearer, the wind whipping at their clothes.
Grant us, Lord, the wisdom and the grace to use aright the time that is left to us here on earth. Lead us to repent of our sins, the evil we have done and the good we have not done. And strengthen us to follow the steps of your Son in the way that leads to the fullness of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The tearful widow shows some restraint as she throws the single bloom on top of the coffin. Turning to leave, she notices a woman, a stranger, dressed dramatically in dark coat and hat, standing a little way off from them, paying her respects.
Bastard. Still owes me for a lobster.
Now in his best suit, the gravedigger and his mate take up the shovels and begin to fill in the hole.
It's like that David Bowie film, The Man Who Fell to Earth.
No, it's not. Trevethan jumped out of a plane without a parachute. In the film, David Bowie was an alien.
Is an alien.
Oh, don't start with that bollocks.
There are many people in showbiz who are from off-world. Have you ever looked into David Bowie's eyes?
Well, by that same token, you could say that Charlie was an alien.
Exactly.
Charlie, more wine?
Thanks, Grace. House looks lovely.
Oh, thank you. Morris?
Yeah, thank you.
With wine and sandwiches.
Thank you, Grace.
Thank you, Grace.
Grace makes her way around the room. The gravedigger kisses his girlfriend.
Tom, there are sausage rolls in the kitchen.
Thank you.
Wash your hands.
Okay.
Grace, who are you looking for?
Matthew, there you are. Would you check the humidifier in the greenhouse? I completely forgot.
It's done. I did it yesterday when you asked me.
I don't know what I'd do without him.
What kind of injuries would someone have if they fell from that height?
Very bad ones.
Why did he do it?
We don't really know.
Perhaps he thought he was going to the bathroom and he picked the wrong door.
Yes, very likely. Would you excuse me?
The sober-faced man meets Matt halfway up the stairs. Two young boys chase past them.
Have you got me?
Nah, there's none about.
Matthew?
All right, come on.
Downstairs in the main reception room, Grace is looking round the room anxiously. The vicar appears at her side.
She's not here, Grace.
Who's not here?
She left just after the service.
Did you talk to her?
No.
Grace looks away. In the garden, Matt and his friend share a sneaky spliff.
Do you think she'll leave?
She loves it here.
Diana seems to think it was some sort of accident. He was just looking for the lavatory.
Imagine he went on the way down.
Just the last of it.
Enjoy. It's going to be a long, cold winter.
The sergeant.
All right, Alfred.
Oh, hello, Dr. Bamford.
Hello, Matthew. I wonder if you'd do me a favour, Doctor. My ear needs to be looked at again. It's still giving me chip. So I'll pop into the surgery tomorrow.
Holding his breath, the doctor nods.
Well, I better be off. There's reports of salmon poachers out on the estuary. You all right?
Oh. You have no idea.
Grace is at the kitchen sink. A young man sits at the long wooden table which dominates the room. It's covered in leftovers from the wake.
My mum wanted to get one of those dishwashers. My dad said no. She's already got one. Him.
She clears away the table and doesn't respond to his joke.
If there's anything I can do, Grace, you know, and those.
Yes, well, everyone's been very kind, but really, I'm fine.
Here, look, I'll do that.
No, it's... Harvey! I'm fine.
Righto.
She picks up the bits of china from the floor and throws them in the bin. Awkwardly, Harvey munches solidly on his sausage roll. A storm threatens as all the guests are leaving. Standing on the front steps of the old house, Grace raises her hand in farewell. The lightning flashes, and as it begins to rain, she moves just inside the door, which is flanked by two ornate pots filled with tropical ferns. She lingers for a moment before finally closing the front door. One month later. On a lovely sunny day, Grace, with her shopping bag, smartly closes the front door behind her. The house is heavy with ivy and wisteria. Matt is walking along the gravel path with a wheelbarrow.
Morning, Matthew.
Hiya.
She walks down the narrow, winding streets to the village. It's been raining, and the sea in the harbour below is grey. The houses are tightly packed together, jutting out from the hillside.
Morning, Tom.
Ladies.
Two ladies in overalls stand behind the counter.
Morning, Grace.
I'd like a packet of paracetamol and I'd like to settle my account.
Oh, no, we've lost our accounts. Why don't you pay us next month?
Lost the accounts?
Yes.
It's very mysterious.
Well, I'll just take the paracetamol.
Yes, sir.
How much is that?
Oh, 5 pence.
No, it's 1.25 on the box.
Special offer.
Grace gives them the money, then looks around over her shoulder.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Leaving the shop, she walks down to the harbour front, past the lobster pots, and sees a lady collecting money for the Royal National Lifeboat Association. She stops and takes some money out of her purse, but the lady hides the tin behind her back, and Grace is unable to put the money in. Puzzled, Grace walks onto the bank, turning back to stare at the woman, who gives a little wave in return. In his office, the bank manager gravely sits opposite her.
I can extend the overdraft a bit. And maybe you can find out if there's a life insurance policy, investments?
I don't understand. This must be a mistake.
Your late husband used the house as an asset to raise capital. As you have no children, you'll inherit the estate, but you'll also inherit the mortgage.
Well, that's fine. The house is 300 years old. The mortgage must be paid off by now.
You don't understand. He used the house as collateral for loans to finance business deals, none of which actually took off.
What about the money he left me?
There isn't any. And then there are the mortgage payments.
How much are they?
£2,000 a month.
She struggles to remain composed. At home, she pauses for a moment inside the door, then putting down her shopping bag, she picks up a white plastic bag tucked away nearby and tips the contents all over the top of the baby grand. It is full of white and brown envelopes of different shapes and sizes. She stares at them. She hears Matt whistling outside and with a worried expression on her face goes to the window. He's pulling an old bicycle out from the pond.
I'll be up your flue in a minute or two, because I know where to find it. It's round the front and it's called you. Hey, how are you doing?
Matthew, I've got some bad news, I'm afraid.
I know.
He holds out a folded cheque, which he takes and opens. It says, return to drawer. In the pub...
Have you tried plant food?
Tried everything. They're dying on purpose. I even talk to them.
What do you say?
Would you mind not dying?
You really are a crap gardener, Matthew.
Well, what do I know about plants? I'm from Glasgow.
I hate this. I really hate this.
Well, somebody else do it.
We see people.
He's not. He's a doctor.
I don't have a fabulous track record when it comes to keeping things alive.
It's like the signs.
What signs?
Armageddon. Final conflict. A man falls from the sky. You lose your job and all the plants are dying.
Harvey has his turn.
I meant to do that.
Do you have a stock portfolio, perhaps?
What's that?
I don't know. I just thought you might have one.
Well, no, there's nothing like that. It's just bills and letters of credit. I don't understand this. There are accounts here for companies I've never even heard of. We've got a Swiss bank account. And there's nothing in it, but we do have one.
I'm sure there's something tucked away somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought, Gerald. But no. No, it's not. It's nothing.
Grace is surrounded by bills.
What in God's name am I going to do?
The vicar looks at her helplessly. The asthmatic, weather-beaten old postman struggles walking his bike up the hill. Grace comes down in her pyjamas to a fresh pile of bills on the mat, which she drops into the umbrella stand by the front door. Matt carries the lobster pots across the sand to the trawler. Nikki's at the kitchen sink at home, drinking a glass of water. Matt eats a sandwich, which turns her stomach.
Are you all right? You look peaky.
Fine, I'm just a bit hungover.
Did we drink that much? I can't remember.
Oh.
God, you're really ill. You never get hangovers.
I'll be fine once I get on the boat.
I don't think you should go through what. I think you should see the doctor.
The doctor's head pops up from the sofa.
I can't see anyone without an appointment.
Hey.
On the front lawn of Grace's house...
Hey, what are you doing? Get off!
Given your recent troubles, we rather thought you'd want to cancel.
It's only a tea party. We could have it anywhere.
But we always have it here. It's tradition.
I've been working on a new hybrid, Phalaenopsis paphiopedilum. It's beautiful.
Lovely. All right, ladies, back to business. Do we invite Dr. Bamford, given his disgraceful display last year?
No! Come on, Sir Arthur Mower.
What's going on?
Afternoon, Mrs. Trevethan.
Hello, Bob. Terry. How's your mum's hip, Bob?
Oh, much better, thanks.
Good, good.
They want to take the lawnmower.
Matt is sitting on it.
It's not us.
Well, it's the finance company. There haven't been any payments.
Well, you better take it then.
Matt reluctantly gets off it.
I'm really sorry.
Bob gets on it and drives it away. Matt tackles the extensive lawn with an old rotary mower. Grace sits on the low garden wall, twiddling a daisy between her fingers.
Matthew, you don't have to do this.
All right, just pay me to the end of the week.
I don't believe he even lied about the lawnmower. Lied about everything.
Matt stops mowing and sits down beside her.
Can you get a job?
What could I do?
Well, you could...
Do a cup of tea or something?
No, thank you. Matthew... I'm really sorry about your job.
Oh, it's all right. You're going to have to get a goat.
If there's anything else I can do...
Actually, I was hoping you would say that.
Why?
Grace, you are the best gardener in the world. I've got some plants that are really sick. They desperately need help.
Well, where are they?
It's pitch black as Matt creeps into the vicarage gardens and beckons Grace to follow. Inside, the vicar is watching a horror movie. Starring Christopher Lee as Dracula, red-eyed, he sucks the blood from his victim. The lightning in the film flashes, and Gerald looks around nervously, in the garden holding torches. Matt and Grace walk past the back of the house.
Why are you whispering?
I don't want to wake up any squirrels or anything. Just here. Here.
Are these Gerald's plants?
No, they're mine. I think I may have overwatered them.
Lying on their stomachs in the undergrowth, they look at the plants.
I'm not stupid, Matthew. I know what this is.
What is it?
Hemp.
Is it? No, it's hemp.
Well, they're not getting enough light, are they? They're never going to grow in the dark down here.
Well, I didn't really want anybody to see them.
Well, you wouldn't, would you?
No.
Well, if you want these poor things to grow, they need some decent soil and some better light.
Okay, thanks.
Come on, then. Let's take one back to the greenhouse, see what we can do.
Well, you may not want to do that.
I'm a gardener. These are sick plants.
All right.
From the window, Gerald looks out into the blackness of the garden.
Where have you been?
Oh, it's brilliant, Nicky. I've saved the plants.
How?
I called in an expert.
Who?
The best gardener in the world. Grace.
Grace?
Yeah, it's fantastic. She's doing it as compensation for having to lay me off. Isn't that nice?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, hasn't she got enough problems without getting into drugs?
You're talking about drugs.
Matthew, you know what I'm talking about. Still illegal. She's very vulnerable just now. Hope you're not taking advantage of her.
I'm doing this for us.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your way of saying thanks?
No. I've got a much better way.
Lying on the bed.
Congratulations, Mr. Stewart. You are tonight's lucky Scotsman.
She kisses him seductively. Meanwhile, in the greenhouse, Grace places the wilting plant in a pot under artificial light with a water drip and lets the humidifier do its puffing throughout the night. The next morning, it's lashing down with rain in the bay. The sky is black. Nicky sits facing the doctor, who sits behind his desk rifling through his patient notes.
Well, I either am or I'm not.
No, you definitely are. Pregnant indeed.
He finds the confirmation.
Is that a good thing?
Yes. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Hmm. Any idea who the father is? I think I know. I looked at the test slide. Some of the chromosomes had little kilts on.
Very funny.
I do have some bad news, though.
What?
There's a slight risk of ginger hair.
Piss off.
How are all our plants doing?
Oh, he's called in an expert.
Oh, sounds good.
Look, don't mention the baby yet, okay? I just want to tell him when the time is right.
What baby? Oh, sweetie.
She takes one from the jar.
Will she live, Doctor?
I think so. Where did these seeds come from?
Guy in a pub in Bodmin.
I mean, what kind are they?
They're indica sativa hybrids. Purple haze with early pearl crossed with ruderalis.
Yes, well, anyway, they're designed to grow in a very sunny climate.
If you say so.
Is it the bud, the bit you're after?
Yeah.
Look.
Smugly, she points to two tiny red spikes on the stem. He looks through the magnifier.
What is it?
That's the start of a new bud.
You did that in 24 hours. You're a witch.
Oh, it's not me, really. It's just a question of having enough light. No light, no buds. Simple. Yes?
Hello, is there a water park there?
Yes.
Dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs. Do you have dogs? Oh. Postmen and surveyors, irresistible to our canine friends.
No, there's no dogs.
Good hope. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Fabulous hall.
Can I help you? Yes.
No. I'm finding me out. Tea's always nice.
I'm sorry, I don't know why you're here. I think you've come to the wrong house.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nigel Plimpton. Trevethan? Lyock House? Valuation for Rampton's re-debts outstanding. It's standard procedure before a house is put up for auction.
Well, the house isn't up for auction.
Ah, well, I'm afraid it will be. Here, look.
He shows proof.
People in your position often stop opening their mail, so I'm the first real proof it's all happening.
I think I'd like you to leave, please.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't. I really must do this.
I'd like you to leave as well.
Call the office to reschedule.
He thrusts a business card at her and leaves sharpish.
Thank you.
At the bank...
Rampton's is an enormous investment trust. John's syndicate took a huge tumble. I'd no idea he had business interests in the city.
Yes, but how much do I owe them?
If you don't pay the money owing, they can claim any or all of your assets. And this, of course, would include the house.
How much do I owe them, Melvin?
£300,000. Approximately.
She tries not to cry. Back at home, she rifles frantically through the kitchen drawers. In the third one along, under some tea towels, she finds an open packet of Benson and Hedges. Holding one between her lips, she takes some matches from off the shelf next to a smiling photograph of her late husband. She inhales deeply and, seeing the photograph, picks it up. Looking down at it, she uses it as an ashtray, dropping the ash on his face.
Bastard.
In bed, under the covers, her feet peeping out from the bottom, she tosses and turns, unable to sleep, and suddenly sits bolt upright. The early morning sun is shimmering off the calm sea as she walks along the cliff tops. She stops at the very edge. The drop is sheer, the early morning mist still rising off the blue-green sea. She stands in profile, looking out, the vivid green fields on the other side of the cove lush, the foamy waves crashing against the rocks below. Outside Lyock House, Matt puts a ladder against the front and climbs up. Opening the window.
Matthew.
Yeah?
You know that plant I'm looking after for you?
Uh-huh.
How much is it worth?
Oh, it hasn't died, has it?
No, it's thriving. I just, wondered how much you'd get for it.
Ounce for ounce, the really good stuff's worth more than gold.
Greenhouse, now.
She closes the window.
Well, here's what I think. We'll take cuttings from the mother plant, root the cuttings and grow them under lights hydroponically, go straight to budding. We could have the first harvest in a matter of weeks.
Could clear what you need in the first run, probably more. You could do it in the time you've got.
Oh, you haven't given it any thought then.
His mouth twitches.
I can't tell anybody.
Matt is lying on the grass verge in the sun when Grace comes running out from the church.
It's just started. We've got at least an hour.
They run into the vicarage garden and grab half a dozen or so plants. Tripping up, Grace glares at Matt.
Sorry.
You've done it all.
Back at the greenhouse, they completely empty it, dumping all the plants outside, including a tin drum. They assemble the marijuana production line. Grace hands Matt a mug of hot tea. Tin foil lines the shelves. Meanwhile, the bailiffs are removing the antique furniture from the house.
Oh, do be reasonable. That piece is worth that alone.
I'm being very fair, Mrs. T. It's a very good price I'm giving you.
It's daylight robbery.
What else have you got?
She pulls off her wedding ring and holds it up for him to see. He bites it between his teeth as the furniture is being loaded onto the van. In the greenhouse, the plants are hooked up to a hospital drip. Grace tops it up with liquid plant feed.
There's nothing left.
Matt, halfway up a ladder, continues to insulate the roof with bubble wrap. Down in the village at the ironmonger's, Grace holds up some electric cable.
Is it this blue one, Jack?
That's right.
While she's looking at the different kinds, Nicky walks up the road behind her.
Hey, Grace.
Hello, Nicky.
I haven't seen you for days. You okay?
Yes, busy.
What are you doing?
Building a fence. Keep out the rabbits.
With electrical wire?
It's an electric fence.
Okay, is Matt up at the house? It's just I've got to see him about something.
No, he's out. He's looking for a transformer for the electric fence.
Okay, well, if you do see him, will you tell him that I'll meet him in the pub at 7?
Yeah, righty-ho. Bye.
Bye.
Looking back shiftily over her shoulder, Grace gets into her Morris Minor. At the pub, Harvey plays with his pint. The doctor sits at the bar reading whilst Charlie dries a glass.
Good book, is it? Oh, Jackie Collins. I'm reading a Kafka at the moment. Not very funny. Except the one about that bloke that turns into a beetle. That's a bit wacky. Wouldn't get anybody turning into a beetle into Jackie Collins. Might get someone sleeping with a beetle. He wrapped her up in his stick-like arms, all six of them, tapping her sensuously on the head with his wiggly-woggly aerials.
Nicky looks at her watch.
That's it. If he comes in now, tell him I left in a hoof.
All right, love.
Right.
Probably lying on your couch at home asleep.
Yeah, you're right.
In the greenhouse, Matt finishes wiring up the transformer. Grace gets in the way.
Sorry.
It's dark as Harvey leaves the pub. Back in the greenhouse.
It gives me great pleasure to ask Dame Reggie Spliff of Port Lyock to switch on this year's illumination.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Grace switches on the transformer. At the same time down in the village, Harvey takes a leak looking towards Lyock House. The light is electric. A brilliant white extends from the greenhouse, illuminating the gardens and way up into the sky like an exploding star. Harvey freezes mid-pee, eyes popping out of his head on stalks. He runs back into the pub as soon as he's finished. Grace and Matt are utterly blinded and stagger about until the fuse blows and they're plunged into darkness. Clinging together, they look up to see the wires sparking. Harvey comes running back out with Charlie and Dr. Bamford. They stand looking up towards the hill.
They work with the house, I swear it.
They turn to go back inside. Now wearing dark glasses and using a broom handle, Matt and Grace switch on again. The white spectral light shoots up into the sky.
I told you.
That's a lot of light.
Let's call the police. In the RAF, they'll want to be included.
No, let's not. Let's just...
go back into the pub. It's something I want to discuss with you too.
You're fucking mind. We gotta get up the ice. We gotta save Grace.
Yeah, I know what's causing the lights. Just come back into the pub.
Reluctantly, Harvey follows.
Is it
gonna
blow?
No, I don't think so.
That's it.
The light shimmers with power.
Well, how do you know?
I've seen it before in Amsterdam years ago. I was on a medical study, studying something medical.
So that's her plan, then?
Well, from what Matt's been saying and putting two and two together, I reckon so, yeah.
Kind of warms the heart, Grace carrying on the local tradition of complete and utter contempt for the law.
Makes you proud.
Did you try that stuff, Doctor?
Once, at university. Didn't inhale.
Evening.
Evening.
What? Oh, drinking after hours, Charlie.
Oh, private party, Sergeant. Lagavulin, 16-year-old.
Just a small one. Any of you noticed those lights up towards Lyack House?
No.
Any luck with those poachers, Sergeant?
Oh, I'll get them. Just a matter of time. Crime never pays.
Certainly no.
They raise their glasses. In the bedroom, Nicky is scraping off the wallpaper.
Where have you been?
Nowhere.
What have you been up to?
Nothing.
Well, I'm glad we got that cleared up.
I was working up at the house. I lost track of time. Sorry.
I waited for ages in the pub. Didn't Grace tell you?
She did. I was really, really busy. I'm really, really, really sorry. Look, I've got something to tell you.
Good, because I've got something to tell you too.
No, well, let me tell you my thing first, because it's really quite good.
So's mine.
All right, you go first.
They sit.
Oh, no, you go first.
All right. I'm moving all the plants up to Lyack House. We're going to grow them up there really quickly. There's a special way of growing them. It's called hydroponics. You know how Grace is a really good gardener? It's going to get us out of all our money problems.
Us?
Well, me and Grace. It's simple. It's perfect. We sell it. And anything we make over what she needs, we split 50-50. Look, it's extreme, but it's smart. I don't want to leave here to get work, and this way I get to stay.
Until you go to jail.
I've not got a jail.
Matthew, smoking weed is one thing. A large-scale cultivation is another. I'm surprised at Grace. It's really stupid.
No, it's not really stupid. It's really smart. I think it'd be different if it was your idea.
Yeah, you're right. When you're being chased around your prison cell by a 16-stone bank robber with a stiffy, I'll be sitting in here thinking, why couldn't it have been me? Why couldn't I have had that brilliant idea? You've been bleating on about how unhappy you are about losing your job, and what's your solution? Crime. You get in deeper and you drag Grace down with you. Matthew, you are such an idiot.
What's your news then?
Doesn't matter.
She gets up from Matt's feet and rips a long strip of wallpaper from off the wall. Matt scratches his head, perplexed. The wheezing postman struggles to remove his post bag. He leans his back against the low garden wall at Lyack House. Coming down the stairs, Grace picks up more bills from off the mat. The telephone sits on a post inside the front door.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Trevethan.
It's Quentin Rhodes here from Rampton's. It's about our surveyor. He's rather upset.
Very sorry. Long rambat.
Touching his bald patch, Quentin Rhodes holds out the handset. At the local B&Q, Matt slides along with his trolley. Turning a corner, they come face to face with the bank manager, who is demonstrating a cat flap to a much younger man.
Get both of those.
So, she sort of goes through there, you see? Mm. Right. Oh, Mrs. Trevethan.
Hello.
Have you met my friend Tony?
Hello.
My name is Tony. I'm from Scandinavia.
Ooh, congratulations.
Tony, could you go and get one of those giant bags of kitty litter? He doesn't talk much.
Does he have to?
Grace, have you read any of my letters?
I'm sorry, no, but I'm working on a little plan. I mean, it's a bit soon to talk about it just now, but see, I don't want to jinx it.
Grace, I can't do any more to hold them off. It's gone up to head office and they don't know you. All they see is a middle-aged woman with huge debts and no income. What are you going to do?
I'm becoming a drugs dealer.
Grace, I'm serious. Thank you, Tony. You will phone me, won't you?
Yeah, it's right here.
Come on, Tony.
She stares after their retreating backs before catching up with Matt at the checkout. Grace hands over her credit card to be swiped. Their faces are completely deadpan whilst they wait. The young man at the checkout has a vacant face. His buck teeth make him look like a rabbit. They stand looking back at him and smile with relief when the payment finally goes through. Grace walks through the blustery wheat field towards the cemetery on the clifftop holding a posy of flowers. As she arrives at the gate, she sees the same fashionably dressed stranger as at the funeral, laying a bunch of flowers on her husband's grave. As the woman rises, she spots Grace approaching and turns to walk away.
Honey Chambers.
Honey turns around.
44 Wilberforce Street, London, Southwest 3. He had me post his letters.
Nods and removes her dark glasses.
I never got any.
They size each other up.
Would you like a drink?
They sit opposite each other at the table, nursing glasses of red wine.
Do you have any children?
No. I'm not very maternal, I'm afraid.
I couldn't have any.
No, I know.
Gosh, you know a lot.
Honey tops up their glasses.
Can I ask you another question?
If you want.
How did you cope with sex?
Holding the wine bottle.
Sex.
Sex.
Honey freezes, then relaxes.
What a nightmare. It was exhausting.
Oh, God, it was so frustrating. Talk about flogging a dead horse. No.
Not really.
What did you do then?
Well, I don't think we should really be talking about
it. Please, I'd like to know.
Ice cream.
What? Fun?
Honey tries to keep a straight face.
Ice cream. I sucked it from his fingertips. It drove him wild. I had to pretend to pass out to get any rest at all. He was insatiable.
Honey realizes she might have said too much as Grace's face begins to crumple.
I think he thought you weren't interested.
He was wrong.
Grace sips her wine.
It's a beautiful house.
Yes. I think I'd like you to leave now.
He did love you.
And don't patronize me.
Look, if you ever want to talk...
Yeah. I know the address.
Honey gathers up her leopard print scarf and cinnamon-coloured coat and leaves. In the greenhouse, Grace hands Matt a healthy marijuana cutting, which he plants in a row in an old bath, carefully watering as he goes along.
Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Will you give me one?
Matt's head comes up in alarm.
What? I want to know what it feels like. Please.
She comes up to him.
Grace,
I mean, if I'm growing it and selling it, I should know the effect it has.
Oh, yeah. Of course you should.
You're not here. Come on, let's get it over and done with.
They find a secluded inlet with the waves lapping up against the shore.
Calm down. There's no one about. Relax.
Grace looks about nervously. Sitting on a rock, Matt lights up a spliff, takes a drag, and hands it to her. Grasping it between finger and thumb, Grace tentatively takes a puff, waits no more than a second or two, then shakes her head at Matt.
Can't feel anything.
She tries again.
Hey, slow down.
He takes it from her and has another drag. Grace's expression is still puzzled.
Is this addictive?
It's not crack.
She takes it from him and inhales some more, this time really holding it in.
Are you sure this works?
Oh, yes.
She passes it back to Matt. Suddenly, her expression changes. She looks at Matt and begins to giggle.
What?
Nothing. It's you. You're Scottish.
She shoos his hand away and takes another drag before he can take it back. They sit side by side, facing out towards the sea, sharing the joint. The silhouette of St. Michael's Mount stands prominently on the horizon. Everything is golden and shimmering from the sunset. Matt falls onto his back, helpless, taking Grace with him, his legs in the air like an upside-down crab. Unsteadily, Grace uses his leg to climb upright. Then they boogie on the spot. Sometime later.
God, I love it here. You feeling any better?
Grace's tousled head emerges from behind Matt's shoulder, looking the worse for wear.
Still feel a little bit dizzy.
You hungry?
Oh, God, yes, I hadn't thought of that. I'm ravenous.
She visibly deflates. Parked on the clifftop, Matt sits in the driving seat of Grace's Morris Minor, alert and chewing. Grace's face is squashed up against the side in the passenger seat, looking wrecked, eyes and mouth half open, dopey. Catch me while you
can. What made you decide to do this?
44 Wilberforce Street, SW3.
Matt turns his head to look at her. Next morning, wearing a long Aran cardigan over her pajamas and holding onto the banisters, Grace shakily makes her way down the stairs to pick up the post from the mat. When the phone rings, she doesn't even listen. She just picks up the receiver a couple of inches and puts it back down.
Mrs. Trevethan, please don't put the phone down.
Please don't put the phone down.
Problem?
Thanks, Kelly. I've been trying to get through to this Trevethan woman for most of my life. Bone, letters. What is that woman doing down there?
I don't know what's wrong with us. We've been really moody recently.
Maybe she just doesn't approve.
Well, desperate times call for desperate measures. The only other option was going back to Glasgow, and she didn't want that either. Neither did I. My Uncle Willie's got a building site there.
Yeah? What's he build?
Houses.
Down there.
Matt and Grace carry the emptied bath into the greenhouse. Grace snips off a cutting from the mother plant, dips it in root powder and hands it to Matt, who carefully pots and waters it. When the alarm clock goes off, they both put on eye protection. Matt, swimming goggles, and Grace, a snorkeling mask. The locals in the pub, sitting outside in their deck chairs, synchronize putting on their sunglasses. Right on cue, the brilliant white light shoots into the sky. Holding his trousers and shoes, Matt creeps into the bedroom on tiptoes, trying not to wake Nikki. He puts them down on the chair. No sooner has his head hit the pillow than Nikki stirs, looks at the alarm clock on the bedside table, and gets up to go out to work on the trawler. Harvey stands on deck. He coils up the rope as Nikki steers the trawler into the harbour and to shallower waters. Once anchored, using a fearsome-looking knife, she begins gutting the fish, cutting them in half and slitting them down their bodies through their heads. The sun is beginning to break through the clouds as Matt rows out to the trawler.
Ahoy!
Hey. What do you want?
I brought lunch. I've got these pasties. Kid.
She secures the rowboat as he clambers up on board, holding lunch in a white plastic bag, which she takes from him and looks inside.
Fish. You brought me fish.
Well, I thought it'd be a nice change.
What are you doing here? You never come on the boat.
I was beginning to wonder what you look like. Mama's always going to bed when you get up.
It's the tides.
It's not the tides.
I really don't like what you're doing.
I know.
I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who's irresponsible.
Yes, you do. I've been irresponsible my whole life.
Well, it's time you changed.
Why?
You're getting old.
What, getting old? These are laugh lines.
Nothing's that funny.
Look, I don't understand this. I thought you liked me the way I am.
I do. But things change and you have to change with them.
Fish and chips. Fantastic.
Grace is pottering about at the kitchen sink.
Yeah, great. Well, in a few minutes, Tim Funboy Buxton will be here with more wacky fab with the afternoon crew. But first is 12 o'clock. Time for the news headline.
Police are celebrating a major victory in the war on drugs today. Two men and one woman were found guilty at Bristol Crown Court after police discovered marijuana with an estimated street value of £500,000 hidden in a barn on their family farm. Sentencing them to 15-year jail sentences, the judge...
Grace looks serious as she switches off the radio. In the white light of the greenhouse, the mother plant has reached incredible proportions. Wearing their eye protection, they gawp at the top of the plant, which has sprouted hundreds of buds. They grin at each other. In the warm sunshine, Nikki walks across the sand to the quayside and into the pub. She looks happy and relaxed, but when she sees Matt, Harvey, the doctor and Grace jubilantly playing pool together, the smile vanishes. She turns around and walks out. Grace looks up and notices her leave. Next day, Nikki is mending the nets as Grace seeks her out.
Hello.
Yep. You all right?
Fine.
No, I just wondered, you know, when you didn't come into the pub last night. I'm not drinking at the moment.
Nikki picks up a wooden pallet filled with bait.
Are you angry with me?
No, I'm angry at Matthew. It's his fault.
It was my decision to do it. I'm trying to save my house.
Everybody knows what you're doing. Pretty soon you'll have the police up there.
They'll never find out.
Grace, your greenhouse lights up like a spaceship. People aren't stupid.
Anyway, we're nearly done now.
You could be in jail by tomorrow.
Nikki starts to thread the bait onto the net hooks.
Why aren't you drinking?
I just don't feel like it.
He doesn't know, does he?
She stops threading and bows her head.
How can I help?
Don't let him go to jail.
After picking up another wooden pallet, Nikki walks off. At the greenhouse, Matt, wearing his goggles, is playing with the mutant buds.
Our mutant buds will soon be ready, great one. We can release them into the atmosphere and take over the entire planet.
Grace is hanging them up.
Do you realize what we've done here? This is fabulous. It's time for me to go to London, get a dealer.
Oh, no, you're not. You're staying here. I'm going.
What?
That's my decision.
Grace, I don't think you realize what you're dealing with here. The last time you were in London was 5 years ago for the Chelsea Flower Show. You can't sell this stuff through a florist.
What's your master plan, then?
Well, I was going to go to Portobello Road or Notting Hill or something like that, find a dealer and sell it.
Now, that's your plan? That's it?
Yeah.
Rubbish.
That's better than what you've got, which is nothing. You have to blend in, Grace. A drug dealer would take one look at you and know there was something fishy going on. With the greatest respect, I'm the hip one. You're a wee bit more hip replacement.
One more word out of you and I'm going to throw the whole lot into the sea.
I don't think you're thinking this through.
I mean it.
You are not the boss of me. We're partners. The cheque's bounced, remember?
In the pub.
Women like cuddly toys, don't they? They like to hug them and squeeze them and poke their eyes out and rip their fucking limbs off.
Harvey stops playing pool and sits down beside him.
I avoid confrontation, I know it. But if you grew up in Glasgow in the 1970s, you'd avoid confrontation too. All I want is an easy life. I want to grow some vegetables, smoke some reefer, sing some carols at Christmas time. And who knows, one day I'd like to be a dad and raise a couple of calm fucking children. But that's it, I've had it, I've fucking had enough. I'm gone, no more Mr. Cuddly Toy. I'm not hanging around here to be a whipping boy for Ganja Grace and Captain Nicky the fucking Lobster Queen. I'm fucking gone, I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm fucking out of here. But see, before I go, I'm going to see both of these women and give them both a piece of my mind.
You done?
Harvey resumes play.
Good shot.
Grace is in the kitchen pouring milk into her tea when she hears a noise. Dressed for bed, she takes a torch from beside the sink and timidly goes to investigate. The beam of the torch illuminates the long, pointed leaves of the marijuana plants in the greenhouse. She stands apprehensively in the doorway before plucking up the courage to go inside. The tick of the timer switch, a constant noise. A fluffy ginger cat nestles amongst the leaves. The timer goes off and the greenhouse is bathed in fierce white light. Unprepared, she blinks. From wall to ceiling, she is surrounded by hundreds of healthy green plants. In the bedroom mirror, with her pajamas rolled up, Grace looks at her reflection in a sleeveless waistcoat and wellies. It won't do. Getting out of a black cab in the Portobello Road, Grace is wearing a smart white trouser suit and matching floppy hat. A man gets into her vacant taxi, irritable because he's in a tearing hurry and she's in the way. Grace walks through the market, her eyes darting in every direction, looking at all the people. She sticks out like a sore thumb. She spots a tall couple with dyed, bright red hair. She flashes them the inside of her white handbag. They giggle and move off. She then approaches a Rastafarian with long dreadlocks.
I don't know who you are. I'm not interested in something.
And another scruffy man.
I've got something really tasty.
Are you looking for something? Know what I mean?
Yeah, all right, I'm happy.
To a car driver. She accosts two more people and then, exhausted, gives up. Spotting the market bar and restaurant across the street, she heads towards it. Matt is lying on his back on the grass right at the cliff top edge, smoking a joint and stretching his arms luxuriously over his head. The green sea swirls over the jagged rocks below. Nicky sits alone in the sunlit church. Gerald stands up from his contemplations and sees her sitting there. He comes over.
I love it here. So quiet.
If you think this is quiet, you should see Evensong.
I wish I were a Catholic sometimes.
Incense? Nice costumes. Lot to be said for it, really.
They have confession, too.
He slides into the pew and sits down next to her.
I've got some friends. And I think they're going to get into a lot of trouble. And I don't know what to do.
Don't suppose you can go to the police? Thought not. If you have to commit a crime to get what you want, then you're not meant to have it.
I don't know if I'm worried more for them or worried for myself.
If one has a problem that seems to be unsolvable, then perhaps one shouldn't try to solve it. One should accept it.
What do you mean?
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The wisdom's the hard part.
She smiles weakly at him as he kisses the top of her head.
I like Matthew. He's a good soul. For a Scotsman.
Chuckling, he walks away. Outside the front of the police station in Notting Hill, Grace comes through the glass doors, followed by Honey.
What on earth did you think you were doing? You can't just go hanging around nasty pubs like that. You're bound to get into trouble. Look, if you're trying to meet a man, I know some much better places.
I wasn't trying to meet a man.
She flashes the marijuana at her.
Keep walking.
Get out of here. You're getting me to talk.
Matt is looking along the beachfront when the doctor drives up. He runs up to his car.
You see Nicky?
No. Where the hell have you been? Grace had to get Harvey to watch the plant.
What?
I took her to the station this morning. She's gone to London.
Oh, fuck.
Matt gets into the front seat.
Where are we going?
44 Wilberforce Street, SW3.
He buckles up. In Honey's stylish living room, Grace is ranging.
Now, why don't you get your young Scottish friend to help? Surely he'd have a better idea how to go about it.
No, his girlfriend's pregnant. He can't get into trouble.
I just want you to ring a dealer. That's
no.
all.
Grace, it's mad. You'll end up in jail.
I'm not going to give up. Call a dealer.
Honey hands Grace her cup of tea.
How do you know that I know one?
Grace sits down next to Honey on the settee and raises her eyebrows at her.
On one condition, that you let me lend you an outfit that's not that.
She eyes the white trouser suit as Grace adjusts the lapels. The postman is asleep on a bench in the sunshine. At Lyack House, the phone rings. There are still brown envelopes on the mat. In his city office, Quentin Rhodes drums his fingers on the glass table.
Kelly.
Sir?
Give me times the trains to Cornwall tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
At Honey's.
Draw. Spliff. Puff. Shit.
Yes, thank you.
Call it what you will. But it's my belief. It is the door to enlightenment.
In your own time.
And now, the acid test.
The dealer lights the spliff.
Jesus!
His eyes bulge out from his bearded face.
I'll give you 60 quid for it.
No, that's just a sample. I've got 20 kilos.
20 kilos, Grace?
No. You've got the wrong man. I mean, I run a limited operation. You're talking big leagues.
Well, you just got promoted.
I don't have that kind of money.
Well, do you know anybody who does?
Well, I've heard of someone.
Call him.
He's a bit heavy. He's not like us. He's not laid back.
Call him.
He takes another drag as she hands him the receiver. Outside.
There she is.
No. Wait. You don't know who the guy is.
I don't care who the guy is.
Well, he might be a drug dealer or something. You can't just go wandering into something like
that. Have you got so bossy?
You're so fucking insensitive. That could be dangerous.
They're getting away now.
Follow them, you dozy quack.
It's night as they follow the red Corvette with an eagle painted on the bonnet, down a slip road, round the corner and through a dubious concrete underpass. The hippie leads the women across a car park to a graffiti-covered entrance. Grace, wearing a snappy fitted suit, tries to avoid the puddles. When the door is opened, they find themselves walking down a red crepe paper-lined tunnel which opens out into some kind of circus space. The ceiling is swag, tent-like in the same red. Ultraviolet light fizzes and yellow and white balloons hang. There is a small round pond of water in the middle of the space. On the far side, a solitary man dressed all in black is holding a fishing rod.
Just like a window display at Harvey Nicks.
There's a rave tonight. We hold them here.
What's
to rave. Race.
Oh, man.
The man reels the line in.
What have you brought me, China?
Two ladies and the fucking hippie.
What do they want?
Grace speaks in French. I want you to loosen your wrist a little. It'll improve your accuracy. He shakes his wrist and casts the line again.
Touché! Sur la tête!
He reels in a small plastic duck.
You like to fish?
Yes, where I live, the fishing's wonderful.
I hate it here. Fishing is terrible. I should visit you. Where do you live? What's your name?
Grace.
Perfect.
In the greenhouse.
Hello? Cooey!
Grace. Funny smell.
Who's that?
Oh, Harvey. Where's Grace? We've come to finalise the details of the Women's Institute visit. Grace invited us to supper. It was arranged ages ago.
You've got to get out.
No, we have to speak to Grace.
No. You have to leave. It's the plants, you see. They're very delicate. They're the special orchids from Peru.
Oh, these aren't orchids.
Aren't they?
No, they look more like tea.
Tea? Tea, what a good idea. Let's go in the kitchen and I'll make you a lovely cup of tea.
Yeah, well, I was expecting supper.
There's some ham left out. I can knock you up a sandwich.
Is that funny smell?
Well, it's probably the ham. It's been left out a bit, but it'll be all right.
Diana picks up a plant. Matt and the doctor creep across the car park. The Frenchman sniffs the marijuana.
Where did you get it?
The people I represent wish to remain anonymous.
Ah, yes. The people I represent wish to remain anonymous as well. Maybe they're the same people, huh?
Can I go now? I've got to pick my daughter up from flute practice.
China puts a restraining hand on the hippie's shoulder.
How much do you have?
A lot. Are you buying?
He takes her hand.
Why don't I just take it?
You don't know where it is.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I can get you to tell me. What if I cut off your fingers one by one until you change your mind?
Honey faints.
All right, nobody move! I'm the police, the whole place is surrounded!
China grabs Matt and points a flick knife in his face.
You would be?
Hello, everyone. Martin Bamford, are we too early for the rave? I can't wait. I just love raving.
This has nothing to do with me.
Shut up, beardy weirdy.
Who's this guy?
That's my doctor.
This one?
My gardener.
Oh, nice. Are we expecting anyone else?
No.
Your cleaning lady, perhaps?
No. No one else, no.
Very well. This is China. He beats people up for me. Shall I,
No, please. Matthew, take Dr. Bamford and Honey and wait for me outside. Please.
He begins to smile at her as their eyes meet.
Please.
And kisses to China to release Matt.
Excuse me.
Matt gingerly rubs his chin as the doctor joins him.
Grace, wait for me outside.
Honey follows.
Shall I go too?
China stops the hippie and points his flick knife menacingly in his face before closing it. Grace is shown into the men's urinals where there is a red plastic table and chairs.
Sit down, please.
She sits. He sits down opposite her.
All the people I deal with are scum. I'm a little scummy myself. You're not scum. That worries me.
I take exception to that. I come from a long line of scum. My dear late husband was one of the scummiest men to walk the face of this earth.
My apologies.
Yes, let's get to it, shall we? 3.5 a kilo. 20 kilos in the first week, and then 10 kilos 2 weeks later. After that, we can do 20 kilos every 4 weeks.
3 for a kilo. And no more deals until I see the first batch.
3 and a quarter.
Done.
Oh, thank you!
You're welcome.
They shake on it.
Can I offer you a glass of wine?
She nods.
I can't believe your friend fainted.
It's white wine.
Do I look like I would cut someone's finger off?
The stubble on his chin adds to his hard man image.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
He toasts her glass and they drink. Honey sticks her head out of the black cab.
Are you sure you're going to be all right?
Never felt better, honey. Now, headache pill, straight to bed. Don't go over any bumps.
Good luck!
Come on, boys.
Walking off, Grace raises her hand in goodbye. Back with the dealers.
What do you think?
I'm not sure. Follow them.
What'll I do with the hippie?
Take him.
I can't. My old lady's expecting me. We're having a Dungeons and Dragons night.
Shaking his head in disgust, China walks off.
It's the regional final.
If that knife had slipped, I'd be a dead man. There'd be a dead body driving this car back to Cornwall.
That was so stupid. He was bluffing. Look, as long as we have the merchandise, we have the power.
Excuse me, did I know you? What are you talking about, merchandise and power? Look at you, look at the way you're dressed. You're like my fucking baker.
Language.
Don't you language me. I nearly get my fucking throat cut for you.
Well, you're not even supposed to be here.
Fine, fine, go ahead and do it yourself with Jack fucking Cousteau then. I'm out.
What?
The hippie and China follow them in the red Corvette. The hippie puts in a cassette and rhythmically taps the steering wheel. Turning his head sharply at his taste in music, China glares at the hippie, then looks straight ahead, snarling. At home, Diana is making a pot of tea using marijuana leaves. She sniffs the leaf appreciatively and, putting it in the pot, pours hot water over it. Her face registers a different smell.
You can't find Grace's plants anywhere.
This tea has the most extraordinary aroma.
Darjeeling.
Trevethan.
Oh, Diana, you never.
Just a little cutting. I do love fresh tea.
So, my dear. Give it here.
Margaret picks up her cup and smells it.
Oh, that's lovely.
Diana sips hers and then raises her eyebrows. Matt has stopped the car beside a wheat field, which the doctor runs into. Grace leans against the roof of the car. Matt joins her.
I'm sorry for shouting at you.
How else am I going to get the money?
I don't know. It's Nikki. Nikki doesn't want to be in a relationship with somebody who's irresponsible. And I don't want to be in a relationship with somebody who isn't Nikki.
That's better. Ready for my breakfast now. Come on.
Grace is the last to climb back into the car. The doctor is asleep in the back. Grace is sitting stony-faced in the front.
For Christ's sake. Okay, when we get back, we harvest the plants and we get the stuff up to your pal in London and we never do it again, okay?
Thank you.
We do it quick as well. I don't want another knife at my throat.
On the coastal road.
You know, this is the site of the new proposed B323, due for completion early 2004.
I can't believe you lost them. I mean, how could you have lost them? I mean, it's not as if there's a lot of traffic about.
Look, I'm sorry, right? I'm not a career criminal. I don't have tailing abilities.
Are you getting lippy with me? Just don't start getting lippy with me.
Right, I'm just trying to make the best of it. If we're going to come all the way down here, we might as well enjoy a day out.
Get in the car. Just shut up and get in the car.
You need to sort out some sort of anger management when you get home.
Harvey?
Grace! You forgot about your meeting with the WI. They went in the greenhouse. It's all right. I bluffed them. And Nikki was here.
What did you tell her?
that you went to London with Dr. Bamford to help Grace sell the drugs.
Oh, shit. Grace, I have to go and see her.
That's all right, don't worry. Harvey and I'll start on the greenhouse. Come on, Harvey.
Thanks, this'll do fine. Do you know where Lyack House is, Mrs. Trevethan?
Nope.
I'll ask her.
Not a shop.
Keep change.
Royal.
In brilliant sunshine, an impeccably dressed Quentin Rhodes gets out of the taxi and goes into the village shop. It's empty when he comes inside.
Hello, anybody home? Hello?
His back is to the counter as Margaret's head slowly emerges from behind it. She speaks and then ducks down.
May I help you?
Quentin slowly walks towards them as a packet of cornflakes appears on the countertop, followed by Diana's emerging head.
Would you like some cornflakes? They're heavenly.
No, thank you. I've already eaten.
Diana and the cornflakes disappear. Suddenly, the cornflakes reappear, followed by their two heads, wearing joke glasses with fake eyeballs, one of which dangles down from off its coiled spring. Margaret waves a cornetto.
I'm looking for Lyack House. I'm trying to contact Grace Trevethan.
I love Grace. I really, really love her. She has wonderful hair. Soft and silky, like a lovely Angora rabbit.
Right. Where do I find her?
In a lovely, lovely house. I love her.
And how do I get to the lovely, lovely house?
Up the lovely, lovely hill. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
They dance about and Margaret pings one of Diana's eyeballs. She sinks back down behind the counter, taking the cornflakes with her. Matt comes tearing down to the beach. On the trawler, Nicky looks up.
Nicky, I'm sorry I did something illegal. I'm going to get a proper job.
What?
I'm ready to be responsible. I love you.
I can't hear you, Matthew. What are you saying?
I love you.
I love you. I'm pregnant.
What?
I'm having a baby.
Fully clothed and grinning from ear to ear, Matt runs into the sea. Nicky, fully clothed, jumps off the trawler into the sea. Nicky smiles brilliantly at him as she swims breaststroke towards him. They meet halfway and cling to each other, kissing madly. Matt ecstatically scoops her up into his arms and, howling like a bear, wades with her to the shore. Coincidence to me. Quentin Rhodes stands looking at the front of Lyack House. Round the back, Grace and Harvey are dismantling the foil piping from the greenhouse.
Harvey, I cannot see that person. Not now, you've got to get rid of him.
What do I say?
Oh, I don't know. Tell him anything. Tell him I'm still in London. Tell him I've been kidnapped by aliens. Anything.
She runs off into the bushes, down the pub.
Darling, whiskey.
Thank God. I've been trying to reach you at the house. No one will answer the bloody phone.
What's wrong?
There were two men here, Londoners, asking about Grace. I thought maybe customs.
Matt immediately rushes outside. In front of a tourist shop, China is trying to get a reception on his mobile. The hippie comes out holding a bucket and net.
Fast then!
Oh, shit!
What?
Not customs, they're drug dealers from London.
Well, I was right about London.
Charlie, come with me. We've got to the house. Nicky, go and wake Dr. Bamford. Meet us up there.
They all go their separate ways. Angrily, China throws the bucket and spade down. The sergeant's putting a parking ticket on the Corvette.
Shh, Alfred. The two men who own this car, they were just in the pub. I overheard them talking about salmon poaching, how much they enjoyed it.
Really? Well, thanks, Nicky. There could be a community service reward in this for you.
Thanks. I've got to go. I'm pregnant.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Grace, Matt and Charlie run into the greenhouse.
What are they doing here?
Not on holiday, Grace.
But Jacques said 1 week.
Well, he lied.
Oh, Quentin Rhodes is here.
Who the fuck is Quentin Rhodes?
Harvey's holding him off. What are we going to do?
Look, let's just get rid of this stuff and get this thing over with, okay?
The doctor comes bursting in, followed by Nicky.
Jesus.
Harvey and Quentin sit arms folded in a bare drawing room. The hippie talks to Diana and Margaret in the village shop.
Up the hill, except now it's on the left.
The ladies are feeding each other chocolate. China can't believe what he's seeing. Alfred talks into his walkie-talkie.
570 base, suspects under surveillance.
Copy that, on our way.
Everyone is frantically gathering up the hanging buzz when Alfred walks in. Grace puts her hands up in the air.
Grace, I've just come to warn you, there are two men around here who are part of a salmon.
Grace keeps her hands up in the air. Alfred slowly takes in the scene.
It's parsley.
It's marijuana, isn't it?
Grace puts her hands down.
Yes.
I knew you and Matthew were growing it, but I got no idea.
You knew?
I live round here, don't I? But seeing as how you had financial troubles, I thought I'd turn a blind eye to bit of homegrown. But Grace, this is a huge amount.
He eyeballs Matt.
It's good stuff too, isn't it? Better than that shit you were growing up at the vicarage.
You knew about that?
Alfred, in a few minutes we'll have got rid of it. Can't you turn your blind eye just a little bit longer?
It's not so much me, Grace. It's the officers on their way from Coldock HQ which worry me.
Oh, God, what are we going to do?
If I were you, I'd get rid of this stuff bloody quick. I'm going to go and look for poachers.
The minute he turns his back, they spring into life and continue piling up the buds. Quentin and Harvey are still in the empty drawing room.
Excuse me a moment.
Harvey gets up to investigate. He looks through the peephole. The two drug dealers stand outside. China looks back at him. Harvey looks indecisive. The hippie and China find a way in elsewhere and tiptoe across the drawing room. Quentin sits there alone. He politely coughs at them.
Who are you?
Who are you?
He asked first.
I'm here to do some business with Mrs. Trevethan.
Oh, yeah?
Menacingly.
Well, so are we.
They approach him.
Really? Are you interested in buying the property, or do you have a claim on it in some way?
What is this?
In the greenhouse, the pile of buds has grown enormous.
Well, there it is. We did it.
We did, didn't we?
Harvey comes running in.
There's another two men here. What are we going to do?
Skin up.
Even you can't smoke all of it.
Try.
Maybe nobody should have the bloody stuff.
Grace looks at Matt, who smiles, and hands her a box of matches.
All right.
Thank you, Matthew.
You're welcome, Grace. Put that match out.
Look, I don't know what's going on, but I think you'd better put it out.
China holds a knife.
That is the most beautiful and awesome thing I've ever seen in my life.
The match burns Grace's fingers.
Hello, Mrs. Trevethan. I hope we're not too early.
Who the hell are you?
China points the knife at her. The dropped match smoulders in the pile. China chases after the woman and right into the middle of all the other women who advance towards him.
Ladies, no, ladies, ladies, no, no, ladies!
Come on, you two, make a run for it.
What about you, Grace?
Oh, don't worry about me. I can handle this.
No, no, we did this together. I'm staying.
Look, I love you both very much indeed, but Matthew, you're fired.
Come on.
Nikki pecks her cheek, then she and Matt flee. The pile of buds is smoking nicely as Grace closes the greenhouse doors behind her. The women's institutors are laying into China with their handbags until the police rescue him. One under each arm, they haul him away. A policeman chases a WI lady past the greenhouse, which is seeping marijuana smoke. Dr. Bamford hops over the low wall and approaches the greenhouse doors. He opens them majestically, breathing in the heavenly scent. The fumes billow out behind him, caught in the wind, and everyone in the garden is swathed in thick white smoke.
Hello, Grace.
Sitting on her bed, Grace raises her bowed head. Jacques walks into the bedroom and stands facing her. She slowly stands up and slaps his face.
Wow.
I trusted you. Whatever happened to honor amongst thieves? What about our deal?
It's nice to see you too.
Can't even do your own dirty work.
Dirty work?
Why did you send in your boys?
To keep an eye on you. To stop you from coming to any harm.
Do you expect me to believe that?
It's the truth. I hope I haven't spoiled everything.
Looking disconcerted, Grace turns her back on him, putting her hand up to her brow and walking a few paces away from him.
Are you trying to escape?
He speaks inches away from her hair.
Maybe I could help.
No, thank you.
She backs up against the wall. He moves as if to kiss her. The moment is lost. She moves away, reluctantly out of the bedroom, followed by Jacques. Outside on the sunlit lawn, there is peace and harmony. Grace and Jacques watch a constable, everyone is in slow motion, dancing round arm in arm with one of the ladies. Another woman with long white hair hands Grace a daisy. At the same time, a naked policeman wearing only his hat frolics across the path behind them, chased by another woman shaking handcuffs at him. There is much smiling, laughter, and kisses.
I like it here.
Two ladies lie on the grass, clicking their fingers from side to side. Another lady conducts an imaginary orchestra with a peacock feather. In the river, two naked ladies showing their backs splash about in the water. The television footage shows pictures of Grace.
Tonight, a special report on the mystery behind Grace Trevethan and the controversy surrounding her best-selling novel, The Joint Venture. How did an unknown widow facing bankruptcy save her house and become the most celebrated novelist of the year?
And the winner of the award for fiction goes to... Grace Trevethan for The Joint Venture.
Watching the TV ceremony in the pub, everyone cheers. Nikki happily snuggles up to Matt. Grace's ecstatic face appears on the screen, holding up the award. There is footage from Alfred, who is fishing.
Wasn't there an incident up at Lyack House?
The police were called to the house, but there was a problem with witnesses.
No one wanted to talk.
Nobody could remember anything.
Excuse me.
Margaret and Diana.
We think it's fiction, don't we, dear?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because in the book, Grace was growing drugs. But in real life, she was growing tea.
Well, as a doctor, a man of science, obviously I could never condone the use of a drug for a non-therapeutic thingy. I must say, it does seem strange that alcohol is legal and marijuana isn't. It's an accident of history, I suppose. Yeah.
Have you met Grace Trevethan? She's a long-time member of the Women's Institute.
So you didn't have any marijuana growing in your garden?
Bless you.
So do you think the joint venture is fiction or fact?
No, it's all fiction. My wife has a very fertile imagination, thank God.
But what about the gangster character Pedro? Is that based on you?
Pedro is Spanish. I'm French, don't be absurd.
It's time for you to go, you know. Get off at my land. I said, this is my house.
Jacques punches the microphone.
You're not invited here.
The transmission goes dead. The interview has come to an abrupt end. The end. Just run with your emotions before they disappear. You're no accidental angel falling down on me. Now the picture is completed and June's becoming three. You're turning my world upside down. My head is spinning with the clouds. I'd gladly give you all of me, 'cause some things can't wait for eternity. Just run with your emotions before they disappear. You're no accidental angel falling down on me. Now the picture is completed and June's becoming three. Oh yeah, it's meant to be. This is no accident to me. Oh yeah, it's meant to be. It's not coincidence to me. Becoming three. Sometimes there's no explanation, only what you feel. And I knew you'd always be here watching over me. There's no point in hesitating when you have something so real. Just run with your emotions before they disappear. You're no accidental angel falling down on me. Now the picture is completed and two's becoming three.